And, you know, the character of she's always searching for the first love that she had, she happened to murder.
Right, okay.
She was jealous. And she's waiting for his reincarnation. And my parallel thing in this show is how I run into the first boyfriend I ever had when I was 17. I run into him and there's this kind of encounter that kind of parallels that. And
wow.
You want to be your, did you want to be your best self if you run into your first love? You want to be looking great and you don't want to have just been dyeing your hair and have a paper bag on your head and nipped out a pint of milk with red henna. Okay, so it's about that, and it's about my jealousy of my older sister. So it's about those things. Where did I get them? I got them from seeing a film when I was 8.
That's amazing. Yeah. So you're taking it up to Edinburgh.
I started working on the show before lockdown.
Right.
It was going to be my Edinburgh show. And I previewed it in a different form with a slightly different title in New Zealand in March 2020. I did 2 performances and then a world pandemic was declared. And then I spent the rest of the time trying to get back to the UK.
Oh, my God. So that's where you spent that? Really?
Just a bit of it, because I got one of the last flights out. I was only there like a week more than I was meant to be.
Oh, right. Oh, okay.
But I got a flight. I had to get out via Canada. There were only flights to Canada and go back from Canada home. It's the only time I've been to the American continent for 10 minutes to change planes. And then I got back. But if I had not got that flight, I would have been there for months. And there were a couple of comedians who were there for months.
Right.
Who then were the only international comedians in New Zealand and got all the work.
That's incredible. So this show, you're taking it up to Edinburgh. Have you got any other gigs booked in after that? What's the usual lifetime of your shows?
Well, before all this pandemic-y stuff happened, we kind of work on something new every year. And I got into a habit of then having taken a show to New Zealand in 2017, are preparing a new show to take to New Zealand because it's lovely. They love people visiting them and bringing work to them. They're so enthusiastic. But what I've really found great is that I've had 2 years to really think about this show and marinate it, and deeper things have come in, which I hadn't really thought about. I found it quite liberating. And I think I'm going to, possibly, it depends whether the borders are open. I might try and go to New Zealand or Melbourne in 2023.
Wow.
So I'm with you. I'm at the Buxton Fringe. I'm going there after Morecambe.
Right, excellent.
Buxton's lovely. It's another lovely, lovely, lovely fringe.
Very nice. Very nice people as well. Underground venues is where
I'm with. Yes, that's who I'm with. I'm with them.
Yeah, no, those guys.
And this show, in an earlier form, it went there last year because, I mean, it's been in progress all this time because I haven't had very many opportunities to perform it.
No,
so in a much earlier form, it got nominated for Best Solo Show at Buxton last year in quite sparse audiences. They've still been controlled, but it's kind of got to a deeper, funnier level now. So
I can't
more
wait.
More jealousy. More obsession.
All of the things. Excellent.
More revenge.
And that's Sunday the 10th of July, 8:15, Charmian Hughes, She Immortal Horror Queen's Guide to Life at the West End Playhouse. Leon the Pig Farmer. Hello.
How are you doing?
I'm fine. How are you doing?
I'm all right, Matt. Doing really well.
Yeah, really well. Well, I like to hear the sound of that. When are you on?
A week today.
A week
today? 7 till 8. Yeah. Next Sunday, 7 till 8 at the Playhouse.
7 p.m. at the Playhouse. Fantastic. Talking yourself out of trouble. I like the title. It's corking. So tell us about the show.
It's It's literally a, it's going to be a set around my first book from last year called Talking Myself Out of Trouble, which literally goes around the subject of me being an ex-serviceman, going from serviceman to spoken worder. I started writing, believe it or not, just over 3 years ago and did my first spoken word open mic night 3 years ago in Manchester today.
Right, today. Wow.
Today, 3 years ago.
Happy anniversary.
Yeah. Thank you very much. So it's, I released a book last year, writing it in lockdown, and it's 30 verse with illustration, and it's all centered around my mental health through PTSD, anxiety, depression. And I'm going to take everyone on a little story tour through the verse, explaining it of how I structure it and giving them a full mortar belt fed, quick firing, spoken word off book collection.
This is fantastic. I'm looking forward to this already. This sounds absolutely brilliant. How have you found the spoken word world then? Obviously, if you started 3 years ago today, two thirds of your experience has been
being in lockdown.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, found it exhilarating to start with. I still do. It was great going out and finding different things that I'd never been involved with and finding a form of art which I'd never embraced. It had always been more music orientated. And I found a very good, welcoming, friendly, vibrant scene in Manchester near where I live. And it was, it just gave me so much hope and energy to go forward and give me enthusiasm and inspire to write more and to keep writing and get rid of all those cathartic releases through. I had a lot of pent up aggression in me and it needed to be filtered and percolated in a certain way. And the spoken word has helped. And frustratingly, it was just starting to take off and do really well. Just as lockdown was coming in, I was getting doing a few featured slots and then it all just came from under my feet. But then it's picked up again and it's really vibrant. There's lots of new nights in Manchester. It's going really well. I'm enjoying it. And it's just nice to, I want to start now because I'm in the process of creating my second collection called Don't Believe the Hype, which is very much more around the political landscape and how society is changing as we've coming out of lockdown. And it's a different view and a different angle on my frustrations and angers that were personal before. And now it's how I'm looking outwards rather than introspectively. And I'm finding it really good and I'm itching to get outside Manchester now. I've started to connect with a few other nights around the northwest and the north, and it's really good to go and meet a lot of good and like-minded people and creatives, which I'd kind of not done before.
Right, okay, this is fantastic. So you said the first book is, and what this poetry set is very introspective and dealing with your PTSD, and that's something, as you said, the poetry scene, and you're quite right, is a really lovely, supportive network of people. So did you feel quite safe in doing that, in going, right, well, this one's about this, and opening yourself up to the public gaze, really?
Yeah, most definitely. I was really nervous to start with because I felt very inferior and I felt like I was I have very much an imposter syndrome going, well, I've not got no background in this. I'm a working class lad who's come out, who's starting to put some verse and bars together, and these people are clearly really clever and been at it for a while. So I went in with a lot of fear and trepidation, but then once I got in there and I found that everyone just puts an arm around you going, mate, you're not the first with a mental health problem, you're not the first one to pour their heart out, come and join the party.
Yeah.
And once I realised that everybody has an issue of some kind or backstory or baggage, it was like, wow, I feel at home here. Yeah. And it gave me the confidence. It gave me the confidence just to speak out and be liberated.
Yeah, that's fantastic. You're absolutely right. I always said that performance poetry is like a flypaper for people with mental health problems.
It is.
Included, you know. And I say, come and join the party is possibly the most affirmative or positive way of looking at that.
It is. And it's great. And I love the themed events and it gets you thinking. If you've not written on that subject, to get your cogs working and go, right, we're doing one about this. All right, you've invited me down. I ain't got much about that. So it gets you thinking outside your own personal safe zone of the subject matter that I would normally do. And I love that, really do.
So you're like, your onward journey really is taking what you've got further afield?
I'd say so, yeah. I've been busy just collating with a lad, putting my second book together, which is coming out in August, Don't Believe the Hype, and I'm going to start touring that. I've got a few venues like Liverpool, Leeds, Huddersfield, Northwich, a few places that want to put me on that I've kind of gathered along my journey, because I do music with a wife as well as two-piece. So that's
What's the music that you do?
Well, I do some collaborations with friends, musicians, putting words to their music. But my project with a wife is called The Dirt. And we started that at lockdown. And we couldn't do anything because my wife, being Japanese, was still living in the country and she didn't have a visa. But now we're nice, happily married and she lives in the UK, she can work. So we call The Dirt. We've done a few gigs now and she plays a lot of loop distorted and ambient guitars. Through loop and effects pedals, and I do spoken word to that. We're a two-piece, and it's experimental, quite avant-garde, and we've had a few good featured support acts in venues around Manchester and Leeds and Liverpool, and that's going well. So I want to keep the momentum going with that. We're currently doing demos for an album next year, so I'm very busy, and it's brilliant, and that is running parallel along with the spoken word.
This is wonderful.
Yeah, it's great to do that. It's great to work with a wife. We've got space at home to record. And it's nice to have some sort of creative fusion between the two of us.
This is absolutely brilliant. And you said my ears pricked up there. You said you were performing at Northwich.
I am.
That's my hometown.
Brilliant. Yeah, I've been very welcomed into the bosom of a place called the Salty Dog.
Right, okay.
A friend of mine who died a few weeks ago, Brian Spink, who was a local there, he was a forerunner in Manchester for getting local artists down at the Salty Dog. Brilliant live music venue. They're very cafe culture, very friendly. Two or three promoters there. They put on bands, they put on spoken word, and I got invited down. And I'm going down, funnily enough, on the 16th, 17th. They've got an annual Rare Vitamin Diversion with loads of bands on, and I'm comparing it as an MC with spoken word, and I'm going back down there to perform with a band again soon as well. It's a really good venue. I love it down in Northwich.
Wonderful. Right. Crikey. Well, next time I'm down, I'll have to check out the Salty Dog because I've not come across it before. So
there's a guy there, Chris Mundell. He runs Rare Vitamin Records with another lad who I've put a live CD out with as The Dirt. And they run this. They've got one in Winsford as well now, and I think they've just opened one in Crewe, but they're very much a craft ale, cafe-based thing. Brilliant, brilliant buzzing environment. Lots of great locals, very good music enthusiasts, and they've got a really good little network set up there, really good bands on. It's a lovely place. I love getting down there.
I'll tell you what, pass my regards to them. Thank you very much indeed, Leon the Pig Farmer. I look forward to seeing you in real life on the 10th of July at 7 o'clock.
Brilliant, mate. Cheers for having us, Matt.
Take care, mate. Hi, Kevin. Your show is on the 10th at 5:15, which isn't only a cracking song by The Who, it's a cracking time to be on. And it's the Jest 3 Comics, a three-man show and 1 hour of stand-up. So apart from your fine self, who's joining you on stage?
Yeah, we've got Alex Corsandi and Nathan Vericut.
Brilliant. Now,
myself, I do quick-fire one-liner deadpan jokes based on life's adversities. And Alex, he came to live in England from Iran. So he basically talks about the cultural differences and the eccentricity of the British, basically, which he still hasn't got to grips with after being here several years. And Nathan, he's the youngest of the group, so he's more idealistic. So he talks a lot about social satire. He has quite a dark outlook on life and lots of hilarious one-liners about the political situation and so on.
This is fantastic.
Three different styles.
Three different styles. So this is fantastic. You run comedy nights in Southport, aren't you? Are they all from Southport, these boys?
Nathan is based in Wigan and Alex is based in Crewe. So we actually met on the stand-up circuit in Liverpool.
Oh, right.
So we do a lot of the same gigs together and we met there. Both of these two started after lockdown. So they've been doing it almost a year, but they've done a lot of gigs. They're in high demand, you know. They're both naturals at this, so they're very good.
This is great. I'm very excited for it. And then yourself, did you just pitch the idea to them? Because obviously I've known you.
Yeah, a while. But Alex actually asked me if I would do it. So, and then he said, you know, they're quite new, so that, you know, they'd like somebody who's got more experience to be involved. And I said, yeah, because I've seen them both on the circuit and I like both of their styles of comedy. I mean, you know, they're both very different, but hilarious. Excellent. Original. I'd say they're originals. They don't talk about bins or the wife and kids. They just talk about everyday things, but on a really strange perspective, which is hilarious.
Fantastic. I can't wait to see this. This is brilliant. And how's it going for yourself in Southport? Are your nights back up and running? Because I know...
Yes, yeah. We've been doing the Bijou Cinema for 6 months, and we're the first three were sold out. It's got a capacity of 75, and the last three have been about 65-ish. So it's... Good the God. Economy is affecting it, though. You can see that people haven't got the money to go out.
Yeah.
So, but it's going really well, you know.
No, that's fantastic. It's great stuff. I have to get along to you in Southport. Where do you run the event?
It's in the Bijou Cinema in Post Office Avenue in the town centre, very right. close to the station. So
perfect. Well, yeah. That suits me down to the ground.
And, I try to involve. I mean, Alex has appeared there a few times on the show. We get a different set of comedians every month, so it's all different styles.
Nice one. Brilliant. Brilliant. Well, we look forward to seeing you on the 10th of July at 5:15, which actually is this Sunday, isn't it? Hello, Nicola.
Hello.
Tell me, first of all, when are you on? What's the day?
I'm on next Saturday.
Right.
Nicola Horton, It's All Gravy, is on Saturday, the 9th of July at 4 p.m. at your very own theatre, I believe, the West End Playhouse.
The West End Playhouse. So just to let you know, you do know that I've called it the Playhouse, ironically. It's a storefront theatre. It's not like don't go in expecting gilded cherubs from the ceiling and
you're saying there's no circling gallery, is that what you're saying?
There is a gallery.
Just stalls.
Well we've got a couple of pictures on the wall.
The lights. No, I looked it up and I've seen the pictures and I'm really excited about it. It's perfect for it looks like a really cute fringe theatre and like it's gonna have a lovely atmosphere in it.
That's exactly what it is. So I'm glad of that. I always have to say that as a disclaimer, really. Now tell me about you, because you seem to be stand-up-y, but you've got quite a track record in script work.
Yeah, well, a bit of script work, but also I work full-time in production in television.